You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of November. From Memphis, Tennessee, we'll review the Friday win over Boston, look at Quinn Snyder's incredible offensive system, and talk Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look at all things Jazz related. You can get this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. You can tell your Alexa to play podcast Locked On Jazz, your Google or your Google Home Hub, if you got that, tell it to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. By the way, with Audio League Pass, for $9.99, you can get your smart speaker to play Jazz basketball. Just enable the Amazon NBA skill and then tell it to play Jazz basketball. You can get that through your home as well. All right, today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, by Mazuma USA, and by MyBookie. Let's get to the win on Friday night over Boston and Gordon Hayward. I thought the organization did a nice job. I didn't really know how to handle this. I probably would not have done all the same things they did, and I think they were right. I thought the organization did a nice job in preventing a Gordon Hayward bloodbath. You know, you put out a tribute video and 18,000 people rain down boos on it. Then that's not a great tribute. You put him in the middle of the starting lineup so that there can't be that big, huge moment where everyone, and then you just let the fans boo him when he gets the ball and you still have a basketball game. Your feelings have been expressed. No one crosses the line. I was a little nervous. I thought some people could really cross the line, and it turned out okay. And I don't know if it gave us closure. And frankly, Gordon's at a stage now where you almost root for him because he just doesn't look right at all. He's just not playing very well. There's not a lot to be said about other than that. But his body's not quite right. You can see it on the play where he goes up and hits Rudy with the elbow. It's because he can't get up like he used to. Last night, he did play 31 minutes, but, I mean, he didn't go to the free throw line at all. Some of it's playing on that team where there aren't a lot of shots for him. But anyway, we got, you know, let's talk about the Jazz. But we got to see him. He came back. I shook hands with him for a brief second. He's moved on. Hopefully we move on. I'm sure we'll boo him, and we'll see him in a week. So to the game, and doing our, you know, regular, seems like a too big a game to do our regular walk through the numbers, but I think there's some value to it. I thought in some ways it was the best offensive game that a Quinn Snyder coach team has ever had. The argument there would be that Boston's the number one defense in the league by a large margin. They have not been as good recently. They just went 1-4 on their trip west with a lucky win as their one. But I think that that was, considering the opponent, as good a performance by a Utah Jazz Quinn Snyder offense as we've seen. The offensive rating was a 124. Boston came in averaging about 90, allowing 96. So you have a 30-point differential between what the Jazz did and what the opponent regularly allows. I'm not sure we've done that before, so just statistically. And then I just thought they were brilliant. And it was, I went back and rewatched the whole game, as you may have followed on my Twitter at Locked On Sports. If not, you can go check it out. And it was just awesome. The level of execution, the amount of times that Quinn Snyder puts somebody in a position where they have to make a decision defensively, is just remarkable. And on the simplest form, when the Jazz get Rudy rolling to the rim and then you got to cover a corner three shooter at the same time, Memphis does it better than anyone. We'll see whether the Jazz can get it rolling again tonight. And you start to make shots, which the Jazz did to some extent. They weren't crazy, though. They were crazy kind of in the – they ended up shooting 56%, but their threes were 38%. We'll walk through that in a second. And the offensive rating was a 124, which was the best offensive performance the Jazz have had. The defense was not great again, frankly. It was a 114. Our magic number used to be 101. It probably needs to move to 103. We've done it six times out of 12 games this year, which is pretty darn good. You win almost every time you do that. We have not actually won every time we've done it, but you win probably 80% of the time. We need to probably get that number up a little bit, though. I'm not sure. You know, we better be a little careful in what kind of craziness we're really asking for. Shot distribution that night. The Jazz got 30 shots at the rim again. That is the fifth straight game of 30 shots at the rim. They were 3 of 5 on paint non-restricted, 5 of 8 on mid-range. So that was an unusual night, 8 of 13 on mid-range shots. But you're only taking 13, which is such a beautiful thing. 12 corner threes. We've now taken, in the last four games, the Jazz have taken 30 shots at the rim at least, and at least 10 corner threes. And above the break, we took our 8 of 22, which we've been both the last two games. Now, the nice thing is we made some of those corner threes. I mean, one of our problems has been this year is that we're getting corner three looks at a pretty high level because of Quinn's offense and can't make them. All of a sudden, Derek is has made four of his last eight. Dante didn't play much. So two of the culprits who were not making them made them, and then Jay knocked down a bunch. Speaking of cool side stories to that game, I asked in our On the Floor, which we do an hour before the game at Utah Jazz Facebook, whether or not the game was more important to Jay Crowder or whether the game was more important to Gordon Hayward. Brian Scalabrine of the Boston broadcast crew kind of chuckled at the idea. I think by the end of the night, he might have agreed with me. I think the night was more important to Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder was replaced by Gordon Hayward. That was the guy that they chose that they wanted instead. Jay, by the way, is now a little better, 6 of 22 on corner threes, but he's shooting 38% on above the break. The crazy one is Alec Burks, who I thought Alec Burks and Derek Favors were worth a mention here. But Alec Burks is 11 of 15. 73% on above the break threes. That's probably not sustainable, but it's nice. Yeah, I mean, one of the things for the Jazz is they get all these corner threes, and then you have Crowder at 27%, Dante at 20%, Favors at 29%, Donovan at 11%, and Rubio at 27% on these corner threes. So, you know, hopefully that swings our direction, and when it starts to, those start to go in, then you've got something going on. It's awfully good. A few more notes on that. Let's talk a little bit more about Quinn's system. Favors and Burks and his plays, an adjustment in the rotation. We'll look at all of those things coming up. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy out in Woods Cross. The Tyson and the crew there do a fabulous job. And Chevy, if you're thinking about the end of the year truck or Suburban, they've got it all, big SUV, they've got it all set up for you. It's really quite impressive at Murdoch Chevy. The Suburban, the Tahoe, the Silverado truck, the Colorado. It is a lineup of cars and trucks that nobody else can match. The Chevy's got the best truck lineup. It's got the unibody frame. I've been driving the Equinox, which I'm just about done with, and have really, really enjoyed the Equinox. Think it's an impressive, well done, mid-sized SUV, incredibly quiet. The interface is easy to use, which tells me that they've taken the extra effort to put everything together. It's got good size. You'll really like it. It's out at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. Stop by, say hi to Tyson. Find new roads at Chevy. If you are one who wants to put a little action down on the game, may I tell you about my bookie. Who you're betting on, awfully important. You've also got to decide where you're going to bet. MyBookie is there for you. They've been in business for years. They have reviews online you can check out. Their mobile site is easy to use. You lay down some cash and you win big. MyBookie, you win they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. For fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a football player gets. So hopefully you bet Christian McCaffrey over on Thursday. And you can use the promo code LOCKEDON or LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online. MyBookie, don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they will match your first deposit up to $1,000. Plus, if you do your deposit later in the day, they'll give you a bonus deal as well. That's all at MyBookie, LOCKEDON or LOCKEDON25 are your two promo codes you can use depending which coupon you want to activate. All right, so I want to talk about Quinn's system. I want to talk about Favors and Burks, and I want to talk about a little adjustment Quinn's made. I also just want to go to winning plays. There were so many winning plays in that game by the Utah Jazz. I know we haven't done open shots. We haven't done hustle points. I always love doing hustle points. Maybe I'll pull those up in a second. I'm not sure we have time. It sounds, it's cliche-ish, it's not analytical, but it is kind of what wins games. And late in the game, Boston's got a transition, and Joe Ingles sprints back and runs Tatum off the three-point line in the corner, forcing a pass down low to Jaylen Brown. Rudy Gobert's busted his ass to get back, and sure enough, Rudy Gobert blocks Brown at the rim, and that Jay Crowder missed the layup on the other side, rebound, outlet to Crowder for a dunk, and now all of a sudden, that's a five-point swing, and it completes the game. And that's the level of energy and intensity I think that Quinn's been asking for. I had an interesting conversation with Ricky Rubio. I thought he made a ton of these winning plays, and that was, he said he had to get back to the leadership that he brought the year before, and I asked him what that was, and it's that grit. It's that relentless passion to win games, to get every loose ball, almost to play with a little bit of your hair on fire, not literally with Rudy because that would be too bad. And when he plays with at that level, he brings – that's when he brings his specialness to the table. Now, he also made some shots, and if he can make that first layup, and I really do believe for Ricky, it's what he does at the rim early in the game changes everything about his night. I think he missed six straight shots at the rim going into that game, and so when he finally made a shot at the rim, it opened up everything for him. And maybe making shots creates that reckless abandonment. You hope it would be otherwise. But I don't think he played with that early in the year. And now is kind of into the – I think he was just kind of navigating the game and wasn't attacking the game and seems different. The other one that jumped out to me was Derek Favors and Alec Burks, particularly AB, but also Favors, made a ton of veteran plays. A ton of veteran plays. And what I mean by that with AB is AB used to not be the greatest at plays that, often I would say he would stand up off the ball, or he would blow up this pick and roll because he wanted to go away from the pick, or he would, there just were a lot of things in AB's game. And it was, I think, hard for the coaching staff. It was hard for his teammates. It was hard for AB. He was making the game harder for himself. And he's not doing any of those things right now. And then even moreover, he's in perfect rotation. He's seen plays before they happen. I mean, there were some really incredible defensive plays made by the Jazz in this game. Boston's quick, and they move it, and they get it around different places. And there were some incredible defensive plays of rotations and just being on it at an incredibly high level. And AB and Faves were a large part of those, and those are plays you're only making because you've been there before, you've seen it before, you understand it, and you're a vet. And so we're getting great veteran plays from AB and Faves. It's why teams play older guys and why older guys win. and we're getting we're getting that at a very high level from those two guys. Quinn has made a subtle adjustment to the rotation in which he is taking Donovan Mitchell, taking him out 6 minutes in, bringing him back to end the first quarter with the second unit, putting the ball in his hands, and letting him kind of, like he did last year, play as the backup point guard. We'll see what it does for his efficiency. I think it'll drop his efficiency. I think it's good for Donovan's engagement. I think it's good for the team's engagement. I think it's better for the team. But it has some rotational impacts on it. One of those was when Dante had his minutes at the point and was really poor the other night, then Quinn just didn't go back to him. Because AB's playing very, very well. It also begins a process of almost making everything but the center position interchangeable. That any minute is available to anyone, be it from Howell, Neto, through Derek Favors, not Epe Udo, not Tony Bradley, and not Rudy Gobert. Otherwise, every person is competing with every other person for a minute rather than Dante takes Ricky's minutes, Alec is Donovan's backup, Royce is Joe's backup, George is Jay's backup as the stretch four, Favors is playing this four and then the stretch and then the backup five, and Tabo Cephalosha is backing up George Niang, and Grayson's in there somewhere. And Neto, I actually just think they're all, eventually this move to have Donovan play the one and kind of just open it up, if it holds, opens up those minutes for everyone. So that Dante and Alec are battling for minutes, and Grayson is battling for minutes indirectly with Royce. And, you know, if Royce doesn't play well, you can slide all Grayson in, and then Dante slides to the three if he is playing well. And if Alec's playing well, then it's Alec, Dante, and Donovan. And it just all becomes interchangeable parts. I do think it's good for Donovan to be in that. I think it's the game feels like it's flowed a little bit better for the Jazz. It'll be interesting to see how Dante bounces back. He had a tough night. I went back and watched the Memphis game on the plane. He had a good first half in that Memphis game. The second half, obviously, things went wrong, so I'll have to look and see if that was true for him as well. Quinn's system is just incredible. Watching Quinn Snyder's system is really, truly remarkable. The amount of decisions that he makes the other team make in a given period of time. Just running guys around, confusion. Like, I'm in stop action, sitting there actually with my daughter, who kind of loves this stuff, and we're rewatching a game. She'll rewatch with me. And I'm like, okay, who's guarding who? And she's like, okay, we got it. All right, if they're switching, who's got whom now? And we're like, not sure. And then you're looking at the next play, and you're still not entirely sure. And it means that every player has to be on the other side, has to be making adjustments really, really quickly. I think it's part of the reason we get better as the season goes on. Because as teams get tired and injured, and less experienced players are playing, and you're mentally tired when the night starts, I don't think you can handle it. And I think it's why we get better as the year goes on. The other thing, and this is important to me, and I think it should be important, is how good we are from a standpoint of Moneyball. So just to walk through it again, in case somebody's new to the program. Shooting in the restricted area, well, shooting free throws is the best way to score. You score 1.5 points per trip to the free throw line. Even us, maybe a little less. Restricted area, which is the half circle under the basket, you average 1.25 points. Corner three, you average 1.1. Above the break, you average 1.0, 1.04. The break is three-point line that curls, right, where it curves. And then anything in the mid-range is 0.8 points. So you go from, if we just round it up, 1.3, 1.1, 1.0 to 0.8. And above the break, three shooting is actually down a little bit this year. So you want to shoot your shots in the restricted area or as threes. The lowest percentage shot in the game is the paint non-restricted area. The Jazz take the fewest shots there of any team, or we shoot the lowest percentage there of any team in the league. We take the second most amount of shots in the restricted area in the NBA because of Rudy. We are also shooting 67% there, which is fourth best in the league. We then take the most corner threes of any team in the league. 11.5% of all of our shots are corner threes. 29% of our threes are corner threes. Both those top the league. We take the sixth most amount of threes. And we take the fourth most amount of just overall smart shots at an incredible 77.5%. Houston's number one at 81%. Milwaukee's number two at 80 point. Atlanta is number three at 78%. We're number four at 77.5%. Lakers are number five at 76.2% because they are living at the rim. And Brooklyn at 73.3%. To me, that's a big, big deal. And the other one is watching us play. I'm sure, I don't mean this, like, I would just say Quinn puts our guys in incredibly advantageous positions. I think there's an uptick in performance for each one of them based on the fact that they play in this system. The one I also think, I was actually talking to Tabo about this last night, is that defensive ability to get teams to take the right shots is as important, if not more important. So we're the fifth best team at denying you at the rim. We're the 10th best team at denying threes. And we're the fourth best team overall in the NBA at denying smart shots. Detroit is the best. Brooklyn's the second best. Milwaukee's the third. We're the fourth. Philadelphia's fifth. Speaking of Philadelphia, impact of the Jimmy Butler trade, as well as what's going on with Houston and Carmelo, coming up next on Locked On Jazz. Have you checked out Locked On NBA Net? So it's an Instagram and a Twitter feed. There's actually a Locked On NFL Net also. On Twitter, it's a feed of all of our hosts on one feed on the Locked On Podcast Network. Pretty awesome. I actually have it as a tweet deck list. Just take it as one thing. But follow it. Put it in your feed. And then on Instagram, Locked On NFL Net and Locked On NBA Net. On the stories are a 60-second collection of our host comments on the most important stories to be able to, to kind of capsulize the day in the longer version in the feed. So follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter as well as on Instagram. Today's show is brought to you by Mazuma USA. Do you hate doing your books? Hate trying to find 12 months of information? You're a business unto yourself. If you have 1 to 5 employees and you're not using Mazuma, you're losing money and clarity. For $75 a month, you can get bookkeeping and reports, unlimited consultation from a CPA, personal and business tax returns. Here's how it works. You sign up, you call Mazuma for a free consultation. Get your information, 801-980-2102. 801-980-2102, or go to MazumaUSA.com/locked. You sign up, orientation call, they assign you a bookkeeper and a CPA. Those are yours. You're not switching, you're not reintroducing someone every week. They give them your first set of reports. They hook up to your information. Immediately you get it. You have a tax planning discussion. Then every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. And at the end of the year, all of your taxes are taken care of. No contract, cancel at any times, no hidden fees. For $75 a month, you get a bookkeeper and a CPA. It's like adding to your staff for nothing. Call 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102 for a free consultation. MizumaUSA.com/locked. Jimmy Butler deal is done. He is going to Philadelphia. Here's my thought from a Minnesota perspective, which is probably most important for us in the Western Conference. I never thought that Minnesota should go and get a bunch of draft picks and young kids like everybody else was talking about. And the reason is they already have done that, and they have two maxed out franchise pieces for their future, Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And they need to be getting players that complement those two guys. Now, if it turns out they're flawed and it turns out Andrew Wiggins never gets better, then they don't get better. But they've made their bed that that's who they are with. And so if that's the case, then you don't really have another option. And going to get a bunch of young players for the future doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. So to go get Dario Saric, who's young enough that he might be able to develop and who's a above-average offensive player last year, and to get Robert Covington, who matches perfectly and is another long defensive player and can shoot the three and was above-average offensively last year, then, and I like above-average offensive players, that's a pretty good deal to me. And you now go as far as Cat does wanting to play defense, and Wiggins does in his interest in becoming efficient. And if they can't do that, you're not going to be good. But you've already got those pieces. So to get those two guys, to me, is a pretty good pickup by Minnesota. Now, you never win a trade when you trade a star for two average pieces. Like, that's just not a way that you ever make deals. But I'm not sure they were making a successful good deal at that point either. So I don't think it's the end of the world by Minnesota. If they give Cat a bunch of possessions, I think they're going to be all right. I think they're going to be really good here for a few weeks with excitement because Jimmy Butler's gone and they get to move on. And then we'll see whether they want to defend. They're 28th in the league defensively right now, and that's problematic. Philadelphia's standpoint, I get it. You went and got your third star. You're about to max out Jimmy Butler, though. And Jimmy Butler has been a problem everywhere he's been. And that right now is Joel and Ben's team that just became Jimmy's team. Like, I promise you, Jimmy Butler thinks that's Jimmy Butler's team. There's no middle ground there. And I promise you, Joel thinks it's Joel's team. Now, from a points gained standpoint, they got 0.5 points better, which is good. It's not a mammoth game changer. They replaced two above-average offensive players. When they're running a pick and roll between Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid, I'm not sure where they're putting Ben Simmons. So there's a lot of pieces that have to be put together for Philly. We'll see them Friday. They'll be on the euphoria of it all. They'll be great. But I'm not convinced that this is as big a win for Philadelphia, and I think it's an enormous risk. And their roster's really thin now. But they have cap space, and they must feel that they didn't have another option to go get their third star. But they're about to pay Jimmy Butler an awful lot of money, and those three guys better get along. And those are your three pieces for the future. There might not have been a more, you know, they might not have felt that they, after missing out on Kawhi and Paul George, they might not have felt they could go get another one. Houston, sure sounds like Carmelo Anthony and the Rockets are done. Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets feels as though this is really Carmelo's call, or where Carmelo is in his career and what he's willing to do. I'm curious if Carmelo hunts around the league right now, finds out nobody else wants him, which is what his agent's probably doing right now, does he really just leave and retire and call it good? Or does he decide being the backup for and, you know, occasionally CD DNPing is okay to him? That's Ben DeBose's point, is that what basically has happened is somebody said to him, like, are you actually really willing to CD DNP? And Carmelo may not be willing to do that. And then his career's over. It happens fast. Aging happens super fast. Portland seems to be real, people. Denver, two losses that if they were totally real, they would have won at least one of them. Maybe some outside circumstances on that, but worth keeping an eye on Denver. Their schedule has gotten a little harder. They've gotten a little less good. Portland seems to be real. That is Locked On Jazz. Talk to you tomorrow. We didn't really preview Memphis enough. Third time to play them this year. We have a hard time getting to the rim on them. I'll tweet out a bunch of stuff. I'll Instagram a bunch of things for you. Follow me at DLock09 and at Locked On Sports and grab Locked On Sports or Locked On NBA Net. Locked On NBA Net as well. Have a good one.